Hi, this is Steve Hall. I want to thank you for joining me today and listening to the podcast. Today, Vicki and I and our small group visited Woods Nursing Home. We usually go out there about once a month and shared a Christmas devotional with them. We visited with the residents there for a while and prayed with them and tried to encourage them and sang some Christmas carols with them. It was a really sweet experience, and we love those people out there, and we love to make those visits. After the devotional was over, Vicki thought it was worth podcasting, and I thought I was recording it at the time, but it turned out my recorder wasn't on, so it won't be a live recording as it was at the nursing home today, but I thought I would try to record those, share those thoughts with you now. Of course, it's Christmas time, and we're excited about Christmas time, as we should be. It's a time to be excited because the most wonderful gift in the world has been given. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to the world, and we celebrate His birth on Christmas. There are actually three Gospels that we can read to learn something of the Christmas story. One of them is Matthew, of course. We learn about Joseph, the angel speaking to Joseph, and of course the virgin birth, and we learn about the wise men, we call them magi, or sometimes we call them kings, although they really weren't kings, who came from the east. And then in Luke, of course, we read about the angels and the shepherds and Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem and the exciting story there, the birth of Jesus in Luke. But there's one other place that we hear something of the Christmas story. It's a little different format, though, a little different sound, but it's awesome and beautiful. And it's in the Gospel of John, beginning in chapter 1. Verse 1, and I want us to look at that for just a few minutes. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word." The Greek word there is logos. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Greeks used this word logos to refer to a kind of a great impersonal force, not a person now. This was not like a god they worshipped. It was like an impersonal force or spirit that was somehow behind all that we see in creation. And so John is sort of saying to those Greeks, you know what? You guys are on the right track. There really is a great logos, but it's not an impersonal force. He's Jesus. He's a person. He's God. And I want to tell you all about him. And to those Greeks who would perk up their ears at this word logos, John has something to say to them through the rest of his gospel. And of course, the Jewish listeners would also understand. When they heard the word logos, what would come to their mind is the Word of God. God does reveal Himself. They knew that God had spoken through their history in the Old Testament, through the prophets. He'd revealed Himself to His people. And so John is getting at the same thing that the writer of Hebrews was getting at. We don't know who wrote the Hebrews, but listen to what he said. Again, this is the very start of the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1. "Long ago, at many times, and in many ways, God spoke." You hear it? God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. "But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son." There's that idea again. The Word, God revealing Himself. The Logos. Jesus communicates God to us. And he says, "He's spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He created the world." John's going to say something similar to that in John chapter 1. "He is the radiance of the glory of God." John's going to touch on that too. "And the exact imprint of His nature." He's God. He's God. This Logos, this Jesus, is God the Son. "And He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of majesty on high." Now, back in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, he adds, "The Word, the Logos, was with God, and the Word was God." And when we first hear that, our ears and our brains and our logic tend to want to say, wait a minute, John, back up. Do you mean He was with God, or do you mean He was God? It can't be both ways. To our logic, it seems that way at first. But of course, we're wrong, and John's right. He is God, and he is with God. He is the God who is self-existing before all things, who created all things, who happens to manifest himself in three persons. So he is God the Son, and in that sense, he is with God the Father. So he is God, and he is with God, both. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. Before anything else existed, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He's the creator. In him was life. Now here, John's going to focus on something else that's important. Jesus, the Logos, brings life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we've got the life in Jesus and the light in Jesus. Now I want you to notice how John, same man, same Apostle John, started his little letter. He wrote, of course, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and Revelation in addition to the Gospel. But in 1st John, the first letter of John, chapter 1, again, the very first verses of the letter, he starts the book this way. Listen, that which was from the beginning, he's talking about Jesus, the Logos, which we have heard. In other words, he was with Jesus. He heard Jesus with his own ears. Which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. You hear that? The word of life. The life was made manifest. And we've seen it and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest to us. And then on down a couple of verses more, in verse 5, he says, this is the message. There it is. The word. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light. There's the word light again. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. So back to John, the Gospel of John now, chapter 1, verse 5. The light, and Jesus is the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is incredible good news. You see, our world lies in darkness. There is so much sin, theft, lying, murder, adultery, anger. You know, we just seem to keep hearing about mass killings, and right now our hearts are breaking over these precious little kids in Connecticut. The world is a very, very dark place. But we mustn't forget it's always been that way. The world was very dark then too. Do you remember what happened when Jesus was born? Matthew tells us this. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, you talk about darkness. Herod was the epitome of darkness. Dark, dark guy. Behold, the wise men came from the east to Jerusalem saying, where is he who's been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. And then the Bible continues to tell us that Herod was troubled by all of this. And finally, a few verses on down, he summons the wise men secretly. And listen to this. He ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. He had a very sinister, ugly, dark reason for this. So he sent them to Bethlehem and he said, go and search diligently for the child. And when you found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. Of course, we know he's lying. He doesn't want to worship him. He wants to kill him. He sees this kid that's been born in Bethlehem as a threat to his throne. If he only knew, he was more of a threat than Herod even understood. But of course, the wise men go on their way, and God warns them to depart another way, not to go back to Herod. And then the Bible says, when Herod saw that he'd been tricked by the wise men, in other words, they hadn't come back to him, he was furious, and listen to what he did. He sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. He had asked them when they saw the star, and they had evidently told him about 2 years ago is when we first saw it. And so he just has all those boy babies slaughtered, 2 years old and under, little toddlers. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, a voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. I'm telling you, this world is a dark, dark place. But listen, when Jesus comes into the dark world, he brings light. And a little bit later in the same Gospel of Matthew, Matthew quotes Isaiah, the prophet, and he says, "The people dwelling in darkness," that's us, "have seen a great light," that's Jesus. "And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." You see, without Jesus, life in this world is a very dark, hopeless mess. Sin, Satan, Satan's demons, death, destruction, hopelessness. It's horrible. But Jesus came to overcome all of that. And again, the same John wrote the Gospel of John in 1 John chapter 3. He said, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." In other words, that he might get rid of the darkness and bring light. So Jesus comes into the world and he brings hope. Hope for a future. Hope for a wonderful future to a world that's lying in darkness. Listen, Jesus is the only one that can offer that hope. Atheists can't offer that hope. They can't offer any hope to those families of those dead children in Connecticut. Humanists can't offer those people any hope. Secularists can't offer them any hope. Naturalists, materialists, these guys can't offer any hope. Only Jesus is the light that shines in the darkness. He's the one who suffered and died just like us, with us, but for us, and who utterly conquered all that suffering and conquered all that death, rising from the grave. Jesus brings hope in the darkness. Let's read a little further. Verse 6, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John." This, of course, is John the Baptist. "He came as a witness to bear witness about the light." There it is again, the light. "That all might believe through him." He, that is John the Baptist, he was not that light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And that's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why we do it. Because Jesus brings light into a dark world. Years ago, Vicki and I lived in Texas. We used to celebrate the Lord's Supper every Christmas Eve in our church. And we'd turn out the church lights and we'd light candles. And we'd lift them up high over our heads after we'd had the Lord's Supper. And we'd sing, "The light of the world is Jesus." I think that's an awesome Christmas song. We don't usually hear it at Christmas, but it's a wonderful song for Christmas. The light has come into the world. Verse 10 says, "He was in the world, and the world was made through him." He created the world that he came into, yet the world didn't know him. "He came into his own, and his own did not receive him." You know why? Because we loved our sins too much. We didn't want to let go of our sin. We didn't want to let go of our selfishness. But listen to verse 12. Awesome verse, beautiful verse, right here in the first chapter of John. "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." That's us. That's us. Because we've trusted Jesus. We've received him. We believe in his name. And he's made us into God's kids. Verse 13. "Who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." And then verse 14 summarizes it so beautifully. "And the word," the Logos, this light, this life, this message of God, "the word became flesh," little baby in Bethlehem, "and dwelt among us. He grew up in the darkness, and yet he was light. And we have seen his glory." We've seen his light. We've seen his glory. "Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And we need that grace. Jesus brings us that grace. We need the truth. Jesus brings us the truth. We desperately need God. And that's who he is. He's God. in all his glory. He's God, who became one of us so that we could, by trusting him, come out of the darkness and walk in his marvelous light. What a gift. Father, we thank you so much for this time of the year. We thank you for an opportunity to celebrate the coming into this world of darkness of your holy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who came and brought light and dispelled the darkness and brought life into a world of death and destruction and sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming as this little baby in Bethlehem into this dark world to bring your light and to give us an opportunity to come out of darkness and into your marvelous light. Thank you for saving us through your blood that you shed on the cross. Thank you for coming for that very purpose. We love you. We thank you. We're amazed. And we thank you for this opportunity to celebrate you coming into this world at this time of Christmas. Help us to do it well. We pray in your precious name. Amen.
Rejoice, Emmanuel shall come.